Well, thanks very much for joining me. You may recall how Pope Benedict was in St. Peter's Basilica back on Sunday, 13th of October,
2005.
At the end of a Eucharistic celebration, which placed three new blessed on the path to sainthood. Among them, a man who was, for many years, somewhat of a legend. He's Charles de Foucauld, who died in 1916, who lived in the south of the Sahara Desert, together with the Tuareg tribes. Over half a century later, Charles de Foucauld's words, "Your vocation is to shout the gospel from the rooftops, not in words, but with your life," still inspire many religious, among them the Little Sisters of Jesus. Like Sister Kathy, who may not live in the desert herself, but who lives in her words as a contemplative in today's Nazareth, the workplace. She recently spent 4 years living out that charism in a factory, making taps. I asked her to speak to me of the figure of Charles de Foucauld. She introduced herself as Little Sister. I asked her why.
Well, we call ourselves Little Sisters in the wake of Brother Charles, who called himself the Little Brother of Jesus. The reason he called himself the Little Brother of Jesus is, well, there's different reasons. I think the main one was because all his spirituality was centered on Nazareth, and he often imagined himself as being in the home of Nazareth, and his place there was as Jesus' little brother. For him, it was quite concrete.
He went from unbridled hedonism to absolute asceticism, no? Would you say that?
Yeah, I would say that sometimes the unbridled hedonism is probably a bit exaggerated. There's certainly a time in his life when he went wild, but when you look at how young people live today, it would probably be a bit like young people live today.
Yes, but there was a big change in his life at some point.
Yeah, I think that there is the big change in his life. The other thing that's very striking in his life, I think, is to have gone from a very wealthy family where all kinds of things were available to him, to have gone to live in great poverty in the desert, and to have stuck it out all by himself. All his life he hoped that people would follow him, and once there was somebody who tried, but it didn't work out. And just the endurance of the man to have kept going all his life long in what seemed like something which was quite futile. I mean, because there was no apparent fruit to anything he did.
He was a bit of an explorer, wasn't he? Tell the story right. He started off in Nazareth, there.
What's very important after his conversion, it was his pilgrimage. He went to Holy Land on a pilgrimage. He was an explorer. When he was a young man, he had explored in Morocco, and he'd written this famous book in French, Reconnaissance au Maroc, which was very successful with the French Geographic Society. He got a gold medal at that time. After that, it's just when he was editing that book that he underwent his conversion. He personally expresses that he didn't have a great desire to travel anymore, and his spiritual director, seeing what the man was like, felt that the best way for him to get to meet Jesus and deepen, because Brother Charles was searching for what to do with his life. He says, as soon as I was converted, as soon as I knew God existed, I knew that I wanted to live only for him. So he searched for what to do. So his spiritual director sent him on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And it's really in Nazareth that he had a kind of a spiritual experience.
His spiritual experience was very much influenced by Islam, wasn't it? Which seemed to bring home to him that God really does exist.
Islam presents a God who is very great. The whole idea, God is great, Allah Akbar. And man can only kind of submit to that. So for Brother Charles to have gone to Nazareth, it's like meeting a completely different face of God. It's the God of the incarnation that he meets there. This God that he had kind of sensed through Islam, this God who is great. In Nazareth, he discovers this God who took the last place. God who became incarnate, who became the least of us. And that, for Brother Charles, was the light. He says, I didn't know what I had to do with my life, but I knew that I had to follow Jesus in Nazareth, Jesus' life of Nazareth. So his life after that will be a long time of searching. First, he will live for a while with the Trappists, for about 10 years. He will feel that that is not his calling. And so he will eventually go live in Nazareth, as you said. He lives 3 years in Nazareth. And at the end of the 3 years, He was living in a little tiny cabin in the garden of some sisters. And at the end of the 3 years, I think he was a very energetic man, you know, and to be pent up in this little cabin just praying. At the end, he was kind of, he was thinking up different projects, different things he can do. The other thing is that during this time in Nazareth, he had meditated the gospel a lot, and it led him to start thinking about not just me and Jesus, but me, Jesus, and other people. That dimension of other people came to him through his meditation of the gospel, and that's where he starts thinking about the people he had met earlier in Morocco. And eventually that will lead him to want to return to Morocco, which is impossible at the time, so he will go to Algeria.
It's interesting how you say that he channeled this energy he had, the spiritual energy, into something factual, into helping the Tuareg tribes, the nomad tribes. You don't see it that way?
I probably wouldn't use the word helping them. Because Brother Charles's first idea, I think, in going to Algeria is somehow to bring the gospel there. He wants to go there as a priest, and he wants to bring the gospel to the people. And at the same time, I think that his calling to be a monk, to be a contemplative, never left him. And I think that he goes there a bit more with the idea of leading a life of friendship with Jesus, whom he has discovered. The beginnings of his faith are Jesus in the Eucharist, adoration. But slowly, I think, meditating the gospel, especially there's a passage I wanted to read, important in his life, where he writes, "I think there is no saying in the gospel that made a deeper impression on me and more transformed my life than this one. Whatsoever you did to one of the least of these, you did it to me. If we remember that these are the words of uncreated truth and come from the same lips that said, 'This is my body, this is my blood,' how compellingly we are moved to seek out Jesus and love him in the least ones, the sinners, the poor." You see, I think that fundamentally maybe why he goes there, why he stays among the Tuaregs, among the Arab people, isn't so much the idea of helping them, but the idea that Jesus is present here. I would say it's almost more a contemplative need why he is there. That Jesus is present in these people because they're the least. Just the same way that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. And his life had been kind of directed by the Eucharist. And so that's why he will come and live among these people. And that's why he stays there among them. I think it's a need to be with Jesus, who is present in these people who are least, as I said. Whether he helped them, I don't know. Difficult to say. What he did do, which I can say he did to help the Tuaregs, is that the Tuareg people were undergoing radical changes because of French colonization. And their whole way of life was being changed. They were people who were herdsmen, and they also lived a lot from, they were kind of the pirates of the desert, you know, attacking caravans that were going by. And that was a bit at the center of campfires and what would, you know, that the songs that they would write, that they would sit around the campfire at night singing about these exploits they had had. Telling about them. And when France colonizes that area, that whole way of life has come to an end, you know? It changes their way of life, and as soon as their way of life changes, there are people that start living in destitution, and there are people who've no longer got anything to sing about, you know, when they get together around the campfire. And Brother Charles is present just at the very moment when this culture is changing, and in a certain sense, I suppose, being destroyed. And he's very interested in them. I said that he goes there out of a kind of a contemplative need, that these people are the least. Well, when you're interested in, when you love somebody, you show an interest in them and you want to find out about them. So Brother Charles will want to find out about these people, and the main tool for getting to know a people is their language, you know. He will spend the whole time that he lives with the Tuaregs, he spends hours and hours of each day writing a dictionary, French Tuareg dictionary, studying their language. When he first went there, he had no idea how to go about this. Okay, he got a friend to help him a bit at the beginning, but he did a colossal amount of work to recognize their language. And some of the Tuareg people even said, he speaks our language better than we do. That's how much he analyzed it.
Their poetry, yeah?
And he collected their poetry and their songs and things like that. So he used to pay the women, because I think it was the women that used to, I don't know if the women sang or what, he used to pay them a penny or something for every song or every poem that they could tell him. And like that, he collected all kinds of poetry. And it's interesting because he wrote a collection of these poems, and he did a collection, and he finished that collection 2 days before his death.
They killed him.
It wasn't the Tuaregs that killed him, but he was killed, yeah.
But he didn't die a martyr, though.
Well, no, you couldn't say that he died a martyr. There is one person who was a witness to his death, and he gave conflicting testimony. It wasn't, from what he says, it would seem that the situation at the time was similar to what goes on in many places in the world today. Was a time of terrorist attacks, you know, because it was the First World War. So European powers were fighting with each other, and they were often using their colonies or colonial interests, you know, to set them, you know, one against the other. And somehow it seems that there were certainly resistance movements in Algeria, in Libya, and other countries, you know, to against the French occupation. Different groups were fighting each other. Anyways, it seems that he was attacked by a band, I think, Senussites, I think they're called. It seems that they were more interested in raiding the fort where he was living and maybe kidnapping him. But certainly they didn't kill him when they first got in there, so that makes it questionable about whether they really wanted to kill him. But it seems that there was a moment of panic when some soldiers actually did come by just at the moment that they were holding him hostage, and the kid who was holding the gun panicked and just shot him. He was killed.
I said earlier that he was an explorer, no, and you said that he really wanted to bring Jesus, to be the first to bring Jesus in the tabernacle, to say Mass, to bring the Eucharist places. That's mm-hmm. why he travelled from the Algerian-Moroccan border. He travelled south, no?
One of his friends who was in the army came and asked Brother Charles if he would be interested in coming further south to the Tuareg people. And Brother Charles immediately wanted to. He says, you know, the idea of travelling, because it was 3 months of travelling, 3 months of walking through the desert. The idea of traveling that distance really puts me off. But the idea of being the first one to bring Jesus there, that for him that was very appealing. That was something he really felt that he was called to do, and he felt it was something he could do. And for Jesus, who had given him everything, he wanted to be able to give everything back for Jesus and to take all the risks that were involved.
By bringing the gospel to the heart of Islam in the Sahara Desert, wasn't he made to feel unwelcome at all?
So his idea of evangelizing is very special, because his own experience of conversion was very influenced by the presence of his cousin Marie de Bondy, who never preached to him. Huh? He'd led this kind of wild life. And when he eventually came back to the family circle, this cousin Marie welcomed him back with open arms, and there were kind of no questions, you know, what have you been doing? What have you been doing with the family fortune, you know? Well, Brother Charles really appreciates this. And later on, in his meditations, he will write about how much she influenced him. And I would say that she influenced him to the extent that that became his whole idea of how to evangelize. It's not the idea of preaching to people. What's written on his tomb in Al Golia in Algeria is, I want to cry the gospel with my life.
How can Charles de Foucault be significant in our age?
I think that in Brother Charles, what appeals to many people is, first of all, the idea of this kind of friendship with Jesus, which was something very concrete, something very warm. Huh? He meets God not as an idea but as a person. And religion in him has these overtones of something warm, something which is of love. So I think that that appeals to people, first of all, that kind of contemplative aspect. The other thing I think which speaks a lot, I'm constantly impressed by the number of new congregations springing up in the wake of Brother Charles, who claim him as their founder, I think because of this idea of universal brotherhood. Our congregation is called the Fraternity of the Little Sisters of Jesus. Well, in English, I mean, that's a terrible title. But it's a difficult word to translate, this idea of brotherhood. Brother Charles said, I want to be the universal brother. It was something he said when he was in Beni Abbes, which was a place where, on the one hand, he had the French soldiers. On the other hand, he had the sub-Saharan slaves who were there. On the other hand, there were the Arabs. There were the Arabic soldiers. So they're all different kinds of people. And there's quite a bit of division between these different categories of people. And he wanted to be the universal brother. He wanted to be a brother to all of them. And for him, this idea of universal brotherhood was associated with the Sacred Heart. Jesus, whose heart is open to all people. That's why you always see him with this heart and cross on his chest. I think that idea of universal brotherhood in this world, which is so fragmented and so full of violence, is important to people. I think that the idea of bringing the gospel by your life and not so much by your words is something which is important in this world, which is in many ways disillusioned with words. In a world where we don't quite know how to go about evangelizing, or where words have just been so abused that they've lost their value often. And as Paul VI used to say, what people want today are witnesses, not people who are going to talk a lot. And Brother Charles is someone like that. He's someone who brings the gospel through a way of living. And I think it's something that many of us want to do in today's world, because how to preach the gospel, how to bring the gospel.
Well, our thanks there go to Little Sister Kathy for sharing with us her thoughts on Little Brother Charles, who, as we mentioned earlier, was put on the path to sainthood by Pope Benedict XVI.
Well, thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.